Raising the revenue being taxed is better than raising taxes. How do tax cuts help the economy? Next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people, and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Well, folks, I have a YouTube channel where I post a new YouTube every single day that answers a question very in-depth that has been asked 300, 400, 500 times a month for the last several months. And it's amazing how many people ask, well, how do tax cuts help the economy? And in light of the upcoming election, I wanted to talk about two basic philosophies. Because there is one general political philosophy that believes in big government, and that you fund big government and more programs by raising taxes. Whereas the other political philosophy, generally speaking, talks about smaller government, let's be self-reliant, and let states make most of the decisions. And they believe that if you need tax revenue for essentials such as school teachers or for police, firemen, public service, and all of these, safety and what have you, that the best way to raise tax revenue is raising the revenue that is being taxed. And you can actually lower taxes and generate more tax revenue than just raising taxes. So let me give you a few examples of this, and then I want to give you a sneak peek at Joe Biden's 2020 tax plan. And you can make your own decisions and conclusions from this, and then hopefully you'll connect the dots on what should you be doing. Now, President Reagan, during his second term back in 1986, passed this incredible 1986 Tax Reform Act, if you remember, if you're older like me. And he simplified the taxes in America basically down to two tax rates, 15% up to a certain income, and over that income, all dollars over that, 28%. And the wealthy people, they never paid more than 28% to the federal government in tax, because Reagan, as a Christian, believed that if you pay or you tax people way beyond more than 33% between federal and state, you disincentivize people from expanding their businesses, hiring people, and so forth. So he wanted to stimulate the economy. And so he actually lowered taxes because the highest tax rates were in the 70 percentile. And so he took it down to 28%. And he did away with a bunch of deductions. But nonetheless, the amount of effective tax people paid went up from 13% up to about 18%. And this is actually what set up the most prosperous decade, the 90s, which, of course, Bill Clinton wanted to take credit for. But it takes a year or two after tax acts are passed before you begin to see the real results. And so that's what happened after 1988. And that's because Reagan lowered taxes. Then during the Clinton years, they continued to raise taxes back up close to 40% again. They went from two tax thresholds to about five or six, and they didn't allow any more deductions. And so the government giveth, and then the government taketh away. And then we click along through the 90s, and then what happens on September 11th, 2001? See, two planes flew into two skyscrapers, and immediately people stopped going out to dinner. They stopped building homes. They stopped traveling. And this is what the terrorists wanted to accomplish, and it sent the economy into a tailspin. Now, when the economy is in a tailspin, like we are right now, see, you have two choices. And a lot of the Democrat constituents back then, they said, well, we're going to have to raise taxes in order to make up for the shortfall. Because if you haven't noticed, government is the last one to lay off people or tighten their belt, even though they expect all the rest of us to do that. But Bush, Republican, He passed the 2001 Tax Act and then 2003, where he lowered taxes. And the 28% rate for that threshold went down to 25 and so forth. And I'm telling you this because of what I'm going to share with you that Trump did. And so it was proven. Now, some people argue, and yet they don't know any of the statistics or anything. But it was proven that 3 or 4 years later, there was more tax revenue generated by Bush lowering taxes than if they had raised taxes. And he created jobs, and pretty soon interest rates came down because fiscal and monetary policy made it such that in 2003 and 2004, interest rates were at a 40-year low. And people said, I can't afford not to refinance my house. And when they did that at lower interest rates and they were able to free up equity, they would finish a bathroom or finish a basement, improve their home, and it gave contractors jobs and it stimulated the economy. So that's what happens when you lower taxes. And then during the Obama administration, they continued to want to tax. And then when Trump came in, what did he do? He lowered the 25% down to 22%. And then the next threshold was only 24%. And he took the 39.6% highest rate that couples making over $400,000 or single people making over $200,000. He took that down from 39.6 down to 37%. So I want you to remember what I just told you there. But that is what caused the economy to grow like crazy. Jobs were created and all kinds of things were happening in a booming economy. And the only thing that changed that was the current pandemic, the COVID-19. But see, Trump believes that you need to stimulate the economy. You need to raise the revenue that's being taxed instead of just raising taxes. So whether you like his personality or not, he's a businessman. He understands how economics work. A lot of politicians, unfortunately, do not understand economics. They just say, well, just raise taxes. And they don't understand why people have to lay off considerable people. I mean, just do simple math. Let's say an employer can afford $100 an hour for 10 employees. So that's 10 bucks an hour. But if they raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, now that employer can only afford about 6.7, maybe 7 employees instead of 10. So they lay off 30% of their workforce. And then the people who are the tax revenue say, well, golly, how come they laid off all those people? Because they can't afford any more. And so you can't just go out there and raise minimum wage without seeing the consequences that employers are going to be forced to have to lay off people. So you lose jobs. So it's much better, in my opinion, to raise the revenue that's being taxed. And that's best done by actually lowering taxes because the amount of tax revenue will be greater. And I've seen that happen in my lifetime many, many times, but in particular with Reagan, Bush after 9/11, and most recently Trump. So what's Joe Biden going to be doing? Now, he's of the political philosophy, no, bigger government. And he wants to fund $750 billion for health care for everybody and illegal aliens or whatever that comes in. And so he wants that popularity, wants those votes. But let me just quote to you from a recent article about Tax Watch. And during an interview with Fox Business real recently, Trump suggested that Biden and running mate Kamala Harris with their tax plan could cause a record-setting depression. Quoting from this article, economic platforms are likely to be a central focus this November due to the recession brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. So here's a look at some of the major tax changes Biden plans to enact if elected. On income taxes, he would repeal changes made to individual income tax rates, especially for those higher income earners. The couples making over $400,000, single individuals making over $200,000 under Trump's 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which means the top rate would revert back to 39.6% from 37%. Additionally, income above $400,000 would be subject to the 12.4% Social Security tax. And so he wants to collect tax on income over that for Social Security, which has not previously been taxed to those people. Biden also proposed capping itemized deductions at 28% of value for the wealthiest Americans. He wants to go after the wealthy. As far as corporate taxes, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act reduced the corporate tax rate to 21% from 35%. Biden wouldn't restore the rate all the way back up to the former level, instead raising it to 28%, still a major hit to corporations. Watch, it's going to cost jobs, and companies will not be able to afford to expand. It's going to send the economy into a tailspin again, and that's what Trump is basically saying. Another big change Biden wants to make is to tax capital gains at the same rate as ordinary income. Right now, the federal tax is 23.8% with Obamacare, and he wants to take that up to 39.6% and also do away with the step-up in basis on long-term capital gains.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Where do the wealthy put their money to pay less in taxes? I will share that with you as we continue. This is Doug Andrew. Welcome back, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the first segment, I was talking about the two basic political philosophies. One believes in smaller government, being more self-reliant, and the way that you raise tax revenue is by raising the revenue that's being taxed, and that is best done by lowering taxes. And that's what Reagan did, that's what Bush did after 9/11, that's what Trump did that caused the economy just to boom like crazy. The other political philosophy basically says more and more, bigger government social programs, Medicare for all, forgive student loans, how are we going to fund this? Raise taxes, and so forth. And so I was going through what Joe Biden had outlined in many of his tax increases that he plans to implement if he is elected president. But I was just talking to my producer, and he gave me a Bernie Sanders quote where Bernie has been bragging that just a few years ago, what he proposed was perceived as radical. He now says, oh, now it's mainstream. We've accomplished our goal. And that's why when people say, well, golly, they're claiming that Kamala Harris is just left of central. Well, that's because they've moved central clear to the left, and that now is mainstream, and Bernie Sanders is bragging about. Now we've moved mainstream clear over here, so Kamala is no longer radical. She's just a little bit to the left of that, and it's just ridiculous, okay? Now, they are tax revenuers. They want a tax. So let's just move on to what you can do, because I'm a red-blooded American. I think we should all pay our fair share in tax, okay? But when you take ownership for your own future, when you take ownership instead of relying on the government to take care of you in your golden years, you can redirect otherwise payable taxes to causes you support, including your retirement and to your family, so that you don't leave behind widows and orphans when you finally check out that are dependent upon government. And that's why these sections in the Internal Revenue Code have been grandfathered as sacred tax-free cash cows for over a century, because it helps out the government. You will do far more for your country than just rolling over and paying more and more and more in taxes. And I can prove that all day long mathematically and show you that. But see, when people ask, golly, what do the wealthy people do? Well, do you know the wealthy people in America? The top 5% of Americans pay 95% of all the taxes in this country. And yet Biden wants to tax those people even more and more and more. They're the ones who employ the majority of Americans and create most of the jobs. And whenever you raise minimum wages way up, like Bernie Sanders wants to do, or you raise taxes, you actually hurt the economy. And that's why Trump predicted that if Biden and Kamala Harris get put in, they will, by implementing the tax increases, probably precipitate the worst depression that we have seen, because they're just going to go in there and cause all kinds of problems, that people will lose jobs, corporations will hunker down and what have you. And so what are some solutions here? I want to empower you, the people that I work with that retire, and we go through and they pay a ton in taxes on those tax-deferred IRAs and 401ks, and the government gets this huge windfall of taxes when I tell them to do a strategic rollout, not a rollover, a rollout of their IRAs and 401ks, and the government gets this huge windfall, and every time they do, they act like, oh, look at all this money, let's go spend it. But see, they need to preserve that. But then when these people then, after 5 years, move from the highest tax bracket to the lowest tax bracket, or one couple that I talk about in our most recent best-selling book, we took them from the highest tax bracket to a 0% tax bracket in 5 years. Now, this couple, when they met us, had about $4 million in yet-to-be-taxed IRAs and 401ks. And over a five-year period, we rolled that money out and we paid tax on it. But that $4 million, we actually netted $4 million because it took 5 years to get it out. They got their taxes all over and done with, and the government was tickled because they got way more than if that couple had taken RMDs, where they would have strung it out. But the government would have received probably 5 to 10 times the tax revenue if they would have taken RMDs. When you add up all the years that you take out required minimum distributions through your life expectancy and your spouse's. And we have the software that shows that you will pay through the nose if you take RMDs and continue to defer and take out the minimum. So this couple, they got all their taxes over and done with, over $2 million in taxes, nearly $2.5 million. But now they have $8 million, just 7 short years later, okay? $8 million tax-free, and it's generating $800,000 a year that they could take out totally tax-free. The IRS knows they're receiving it, and they know it's tax-free. Now, this couple doesn't even need $800,000. They only take $300,000, and they live on $300,000 of tax-free income, and the other $500,000 is just continuing to compound and grow tax-free. How do they do that? They use my favorite instrument, which I call the LASER Fund. LASER is an acronym that stands for Liquid Asset Safely Earning Returns. And it is a max funded tax advantage insurance contract where many, many people have been able to double their money inside of those insurance contracts on a tax-free basis every 7 to 10 years for the last 2 decades. I can't guarantee that for the future. Interest rates are relative. But my heavens, I know people who, in the worst period since the Great Depression, 2000 to 2010, which we call the lost decade, most Americans that started out with $1 million in the year 2000, they saw that million go down to 600,000 by the end of 2003. It took till 2007 to get back to break even again at a million. In 2008, they saw it drop another 40%. It actually took until 2012 to come back to break even. During that 12-year period, many people using my LASER Fund concepts, their million had tripled to 3 million when most Americans barely had their money back. And that 3 million is tax-free. That 3 million can easily generate $200,000 a year of tax-free income without depleting principal for as long as they live, if they live to be 120. Going back to this couple, where if they had left their $4 million in IRAs and 401ks, with the industry average of a 4% payout, they would only be able to take out $160,000 a year out of their IRAs and 401ks, and they would have to pay tax on that. They would only be netting maybe $120,000 at best. By coming and learning how to optimize their assets and minimize taxes, they now have $8 million, and they're only pulling out $300,000. They could pull out $600,000 to $800,000 without depleting principal. Folks, this isn't a little bit better. It's double and triple oftentimes better than what people were experiencing with their yet-to-be-taxed IRAs and 401ks invested in the market. We do this all the time, and that's why I want you to learn, get educated, understand that if you can earn averages between 6 to 10% tax-free, that is better than trying to earn 9 to 15% in a tax-deferred IRA or 401k in the market. You want to protect yourself from the negative impact of taxes by converting to tax-free. Have inflation work for you instead of against you. And number three, you want to make sure that as you approach retirement, your money is not in the market subject to market volatility. You get to participate when the market does well, but not lose when the market crashes. We eliminate those three dangers: taxes, inflation, and market volatility.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.